Last year, we had the burner under the Bible, right? Under the Word of God. We were saying, speak, Lord, your sons and your daughters are listening. And we read and we read and we learned and we learned. And I heard somewhere one precious friend of ours, she said, I read some things that I don't ever want to read again. And I read some things that I'm just so hungry to go back to. One guy said, I was listening to the Dwell app and I finally learned how to pronounce some of those names. It was so good. Oh, but so many people have said, I longed to do this. I've longed to do this for so long, but I'd never done it in the context of a church family. And I'd never had the encouragement of those videos week after week with Jason just encouraging us along and those emails that would come and just encourage us along. And it was just such a prompting to do what my heart already wanted to do, but sometimes my head didn't keep up. And it was so beautiful. This year, I don't want you to let that one grow cold, but I want you to move the burner under that idea of, Lord, I not only want to hear from you, but I want to be known by you. I want to know how to speak and know that you hear. I want to enter into this life of conversational prayer with you. I want to know you that way. I want to walk into that with you. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be spending time around the Lord's Prayer. There's two places in the Gospels where we have the Lord's Prayer. We're looking in Matthew chapter 6. In Luke's Gospel, in Luke 11, Jesus, on one occasion, he's praying in a certain place. And when he gets done, his disciples, they asked him, Lord, would you teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray? Man, I could just picture those guys watching Jesus pray. I can just picture those guys waiting for him to get done so that they can ask. There's this longing in their heart, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus answered him. He said, look, yeah, when you pray, pray like this. When you pray, say this. And he began to show them a whole new way to pray that nobody had ever prayed before. And here's how I know that. Because no pursuit of connection with God, no matter what religious road you go down, no pursuit of that, except Christianity, has God inviting you to know him. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father. Nobody else does that. Call him Lord, call him Master. Don't call him Papa. But the Lord invites us, Jesus invites us, come know my Father as your Father. Pray like this. Lord, teach us to pray. You've got Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, when it says, when you pray, not if you pray, not on those rare occasions, but when you pray, pray like this. My hope is that as we go through this time together, you're going to hide that passage in your heart. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you may say, Rusty, you don't understand how I was raised. I already know that prayer. I know that prayer. I can say it without even thinking about it. And precious ones, that's what I want to invite you into, a kind of prayer that thinks about it. Not checking off a to-do list, not looking for getting your spiritual brownie points, but a kind of prayer that is hidden deep in your heart that becomes the conversational nature of your life. Jesus kind of said, hey, there's some do's and there's some don'ts when it comes to this. When you pray, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give, to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, that's an important word here, who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's the you that you are when no one's looking. It's the prayer that you pray when no one else is listening. It's that secret place kind of prayer. And when you pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, I've got it circled. When, not if, but when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's call a timeout on that one, because that's a question a lot of people ask. Why do I need to pray if God already knows what I need before I ask him? What kind of exercise is this that God takes us through? God is able to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And he does know what we need before we ask him. But I just kind of have a sense that he likes us to ask. I don't know if you've ever had a time in your own family when, I mean, anybody's welcome to, you know, go to the fridge, but it's kind of nice to be asked. It's kind of nice to be allowed into that place of I need and I can provide. This then is how you should pray. Let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I want to make a deal with you on something. I want to just agree together that for the purposes of our time together, it's debts and debtors, not trespasses and those who trespass against us. You may have memorized it the other way. I was in a funeral service just the other day in a church not our own, and I felt like such an outsider because I said it wrong. Let's just agree for our purposes, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, because we all know what that means, right? We all know what it means to owe and be owed. And yet Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no records. And so this prayer helps us to say, Lord, I want to release all of that. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to be spending our time over these next several weeks, and we're just going to take it phrase by phrase, piece by piece, the prayer of connection, our Father in heaven, your God, I'm not. The prayer of surrender, your kingdom come. I've spent enough time in my life trying to build my kingdom, trying to accomplish my will, but Lord, I want to surrender that to you and say, Lord, your kingdom, your will, a prayer of dependence that says, I need you. I need you today. Man, I don't know about you, but I sometimes work really hard to make sure that my needs are met well enough in advance that I don't have to worry about what's coming tomorrow. But there's something in the heart of God. It goes all the way back to the manna in the wilderness where he provides enough today for today. So that you have to come back tomorrow and say, Lord, it's me again. It's me again. I need you again. I think that's probably why God won't let me win the lottery. It's probably definitely why he won't let me buy a ticket, but that's beside the point. Anyway, prayer of dependence. And I think it's something the Lord wants to usher us into. Prayer of release. A prayer of release that says, forgive us as we forgive. Isn't that a scary thought? We'll unpack that together in a couple of weeks. Forgive us as we forgive. Wait, Lord, I want to be forgiven a lot better than I'm able to. I want to be forgiven to a much greater degree than I forgive others. But it does kind of hold the mirror up to my heart and say, what, Rusty, where are you holding a grudge that you need to let go of if you ever want to be free? If you ever want to be, not about letting that other person off the hook, but if you want to be free, you're going to need to release. Prayer of release, prayer of deliverance, because there is an enemy of our soul. And he does go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he does seek to kill, steal and kill and destroy. And the prayer of deliverance is saying, lead us, Lord. And as you lead us away from, lead us out of the path of the evil one. I can find the evil one on any given day as I stumble and bumble my way through life. Instead, Lord, lead me. Lead me. a prayer of deliverance that would say, Lord, some of the brokenness in my life, some of the things I can't seem to shake, some of it's not just a product of my raising, some of it's not just a product of the dysfunction in my brain or the electrical synapses that are misfiring or the medications that are, but some of it is spiritual warfare. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I need your help. And then the prayer of fulfillment that would say, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. My friends on the mission field, my friends who live and work and bring the kingdom to dark places, they have this phrase. They say, we want to make the name of the Lord great. We want to make much of the Lord's name. We want to plant the flag for the kingdom in this dark place. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. But today, I want to bring you back to this thought. Bryce, would you join me? Oh, let me find it. Hang on. That one. Let me bring you back, and we'll talk more about it next week, but just that opening phrase, our Father in heaven. When Jesus taught his disciples, we have every reason to think he was speaking in Aramaic, and the word that would introduce that whole deal is the word Abba. Abba, Father. Our Father. And Jesus is the only rabbi who is teaching that kind of connection. Jesus is the only master teacher who said, God wants to be known by you. God wants to be in relationship with you. And you may struggle because of your background or how you were raised. You may struggle to have a positive connotation of the word Father. And if so, let me just say I'm sorry that that word has been hijacked for you. I'm sorry that that word has been distorted for you. But that word in its purity, that word in its wholeness is meant to be a word of open arms. It's meant to be a word of embrace. There's this line from the Psalms that says, I am quieted in your presence like a weaned child in the arms of its mother. It's meant to be a word of welcome. And when he was teaching it to his disciples, he was teaching it to the group, our Father, our Papa. But I want to invite you now, this morning, this first morning of a new year, I want to invite you to own that. Not just our Father, but Lord, would you be my Father? Would you be my Abba in heaven? The one who knows me, the one who loves me, the one who welcomes me home, my Father. What would it look like for you to own that? And maybe you're not here because you've actually bought into all this. Maybe you're just here as a way to sort of placate people you care about. It's important to them, so you're coming along for the ride. But my prayer for you is that you would own this. That you would step into it and say, Lord, I'm the one who needs you. I'm the one who needs to be known by you. It's not just us. It's me. It's me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? And you may have asked Jesus in your heart years ago when you were a little kid. But I was talking to a friend recently and she said, life is so much better than it was, but there's still so much restoration that needs to happen in my life. So what if you could own it and say, Lord, would you come and be my Abba Father, my Papa? Lord, would you come and know me? Because while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if God were to know everything there is to know about you, maybe your prayer would sound like, I'm no longer worthy to be called your child. But God, like the Father in the story, in Jesus' story, where the Father throws his arms around the Son It says, this son of mine was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. Would you stand together with me? Maybe today's your day at the start of a new year, the turning over of a new page, as you seek to leave some things behind, as you seek to embrace some things and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, let this next year be different. Maybe today's your day to start by saying, Lord, I want to own it, my relationship with you. Would you be my father? Would you let me be your child? Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you come into my life? Would you make me new? Would you start me over? Lord, could this be the beginning of something totally different?